Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of 1 John chapter 3 this morning. 1 John chapter 3. And we will... Last week we dealt with temptation. And this week we're going to be dealing with what takes place after temptation, after we give into it. And of course we all know that is sin. And we're going to have a lot to go through this morning. And hopefully it'll be a blessing to you. Let's... bow ourselves in a word of prayer this morning. Let's ask God again just to bless us, we'll go from there. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this time that you've given us. Lord, as we come now and we get into your word, we pray that you would continue to speak to our hearts. God, I just want to lift up the ones that are not with us this morning. We know that some are out because of sickness, and some are being cautious, and God, we pray that the ones that are sick, you just bring healing to their bodies. Lord, I pray for the cautious ones, that, Lord, I pray that this thing that we are going through in our world would come to a quick end. God, the only way that I can really think about a thing coming to an end is having your return. God, it'd be so great for you to come back for your children. We know the time is approaching. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be looking for you and to be doing your will in the meantime. And we ask it in your name. Amen. Well, as you and I both know, we are all attacked by sin. It's something that's plagued our lives, and it's came into effect during the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve gave in to their temptations, but it also goes back in heaven where Satan rebelled against God. And so we know from that time that we have struggled with sin. And again, sin is something that will plague man's life. Let's read John chapter 3 and 1 John chapter 3. We'll read verse number 4, it says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." Of course, he is talking about Jesus Christ. We all know that God gave us his Son, first of all, to come to this world to die for our sins, to take away our sins from us. And it says, "He was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous." First of all, we must understand we sin when we break or when we fall short of full obedience to God's commandments. That is when we sin, as we read here in verses John 3, verse 4. Romans 3, 23, it says, "For all have sinned." There isn't anybody in here this morning who has not committed a sin. We've all committed a sin some point in time in our life. Matter of fact, we dealt with temptation last Sunday. On our way to church, we were probably tempted. Just because we're tempted doesn't mean we sin, but it's when we give in to that temptation. That's when it becomes a sin. So this morning, same illustration. You probably were tempted on your way to church, or maybe you're tempted at home for some reason or another. And then you gave in to that. That's when you gave birth. That's when it became sin. "For all have sinned," every single one of us, "and come short of the glory of God." And you find that in chapter 3, verse 23 of Romans. And so that tells us here, first of all, that we must learn and fully obey what the Bible says. The Bible's not going to steer us wrong. The Bible's not going to lead us astray. Well, what do we know who will? Man will. Man will lead us astray. Man will... give us things that, or try to entice us with things that are not godly, and that's just the way it is. We sin when we do anything we are not certain is right. We sin when we do not do something good that we know we should do. James chapter 4, verse number 17, it says, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." We sin when we do anything which is wrong. Well, which is wrong? Wicked, evil, or anything that is not righteous. That's when we sin. Sin is anything which goes against the holy and righteous nature of God. That's what sin is. Well, where did sin come from? Have you ever asked that question? Where did sin come from? God made a perfect creation, did he not? Is not God the creator of everything? Sin came from man when man, because we are created of their own free will. And we are given a choice to either do right or to either do wrong. Why do we struggle with sin? Do you guys ever ask yourself that question? Why do we struggle with sin? Why do we struggle with the flesh? Everybody born of the seed of Abraham, including you and I, were born with a sinful nature. You'll find that in Romans chapter 5, verse number 12. We are thus sinners first by birth, and then it becomes a personal choice. We have an old fleshly nature that is sinful. Have any of you noticed, even after salvation, your old fleshly nature tries to come back and tries to destroy you? Has anybody ever experienced that besides me, myself? We've got a couple of you in here. So that means the rest of you are sinning. You're not admitting that that has taken place in your life. We have a fleshly nature. The good news is, when you are born again, you receive a new spiritual nature. And that nature is holy, and that nature is good. But the bad news on this is, your old fleshly nature will still seek to try to control you. It will. And unfortunately, we allow that to take place in our life, and we give in to those things. We forget about our new spiritual nature because we have allowed our lust to get involved, and we have allowed our fleshly desires to get involved, and then we yield to the old flesh. And the old flesh is what will destroy man. It is what will bring you down. It's your downfall. And you can look in the Bible and you'll see many men that we have read about that struggled with very specific sins in their lives. And then with the sins that they committed, you would see devastating results. You are chastised for your sins. If you don't have any chastisement from God in your life for the sins you committed, then you might want to question your salvation on that part of that. Because God chastises his children when they commit a sin. It's no different when a mom and dad have kids that are doing wrong, and they're caught in the act of the wrongdoing. And what does a mom and dad do? Well, mom and dad's going to punish their children. And it's not for the edification of the mom and dad. It's not for the glory of their mom and dad. It's not for mom and dad to go and say, hey, when they go into work, and say, man, yeah, my daughter and my son, they did something horrible, but man, I beat the tar out of them. It's not for those things. It's not to boast upon that. Matter of fact, nobody should take pleasure in beating their children. But we chastise our children because we want to correct them. We don't want to see them continue down the wrong lifestyle, and eventually allowing that lifestyle to take in. So what does a mom and dad do? Well, they chastise their children. Well, it's for their own good. There have been many instances in my life where I have been punished for my own wrongdoing, and it kept me from doing those things again. Now, I know a lot of you guys know this, but I have siblings that I grew up with. And not by any way, shape, or form was I a perfect kid. But I was able to learn from my other siblings when they got caught and when they were disciplined for their wrongdoings. That set something in my mind, say, man, I don't want to do that because I don't want to feel the wrath of mom and dad. By the way, most folks, young people would rather be disciplined by their mom. That wasn't the case for me. My mom knew how to hand out discipline. And she had to learn how to hand those things out because she had four boys that were quite bigger than her. I never forget the conversation I had with her because it came to a later time in her life. As we're getting older, she began to do more things to us besides the board and the belt. And there's a lot of you folks don't know this, but before this gymnasium was built back there, we had some trees back there, and we had some trees over there, and we'd have to go out and begin to chop down the stumps that were there, or we had to run many laps around here and things of that nature. And I said, "Mom, why did you do those things?" She says, "Because I did not want to let you know that I was intimidated by you guys, because you're much bigger." Little did she know how intimidated we were by her, and still am to this day. When I get a certain look from my mom and I say something cross towards her, I get that look and I still want to run home, because I don't want to face the consequences of those actions. But moms and dads, they discipline their children because they're trying to protect them. When God disciplines you for your sin, he's doing it for your own good, for your own benefit. It's unfortunate we live in a reckless society in our world, really. It's reckless when we have young people that are roaming the streets and ruling the streets all because of this. There is no discipline at home. We have heard some stories throughout the last couple months where a mom saw her child on the news riding in the street, and a mom went and grabbed that child and took that child to the sheriff. Now, that's the right thing to do. I tell you what, I would have had to face consequences at home first before I would have went to the sheriff. That's just how mom and dad is. But we live in this type of a reckless society because parents aren't taking the responsibility upon themselves to discipline their children when they do wrong. I tell you what, if that was taking place today, we wouldn't see these things that are taking place in our world. And so there are many of us who struggle with our old nature, and some don't even know what a new nature is. So what's that tell you? Well, we need to be diligent doing what God has called us to do, be a voice for him. And so we have a choice. We don't have to give in to our old nature. We can give in to our new nature. Well, how do we give in to our new nature? Again, as I said last week, as we're faced with temptations, one of the greatest things that you and I can do is to get down on our hands and knees and begin to pray. God, would you please remove this temptation in my life so that my flesh will not struggle with this, because I know my flesh, it is weak, and because of my weakness, if I don't call upon you, I'm going to give birth to that. And I'm going to go out and I'm going to commit a sin. You know, there are sins that affect us. Sins affect us. We live in a time when sin has become common among many who claim to be Christians. They have few convictions and seem to love their sins. And I can go on and name a list of sins that we love and that we relish in. Things that we don't want to give up because this is what we're attracted to. And that's unfortunate. Moral standards have been watered down in the name of tolerance and political correctness. And when we have sin in our lives, it makes us ineffective Christians, and it weakens our testimony. And it does. We forget sometimes that we live in a world that is constantly examining us. Well, why are they examining us? Well, first of all, we take a stand, then we tell folks that we're believers. And as soon as you take that stand and you let them know who you are and what you stand for, they automatically, you don't see it physically, but they begin to get the magnifying glass out. And as that magnifying glass comes out, what are they doing? They're examining every area of your life. And they're waiting for you to trip up somewhere along the road. And that's what happens. And if we don't guard ourselves, I like that word because my wife gave this revelation to me years ago. What is happening in our world and why we commit sin is because we're not guarding our heart. And you and I, as God's children, as believers, we have the responsibility to be guarding our hearts. And when we let our guard down, what do? When that guard comes down, we're allowing Satan, and actually what we're doing, we don't realize this, we're giving Satan permission to pester us, to tempt us, which is why it's important for all of us to put on the whole armor of God. If we leave one little piece at home, it's not going to do us any good, is it? It's like sending a soldier out to the war without a gun. But he's got everything else on. He's got his fatigues on. He's got his helmet on, all those things, but he doesn't have a gun. And what happens? He becomes vulnerable to the attack from the enemy. And this is where we are. We have to guard ourselves. Why? Because our testimony needs to be effective. It needs to be constantly true. Ron Todd is our missionary to Costa Rica. I wasn't here last time when he was in here, and I missed him, and that's unfortunate. I wasn't able to do, but I was able to experience something I was not able to experience either. But I remember one of the things that Ron Todd brought up as he's in Costa Rica, being a missionary there. They are a different people. They are a different culture. And they respond differently. You just can't come up to an individual and say, hey, you're lost and going to hell. You can't do that over there. Because when you do those things, you've lost that individual. And so what he has to do is to develop a friendship with them and maintain a good testimony with them. And he has said it is his testimony a majority of the time that wins those lost Costa Ricans to the Lord. It's not him getting out his Bible and showing them the Romans road. It's him allowing God to live through his life 24/7, maintaining his testimony. Does he fall in between time? Yes, we're man. We fall, we make mistakes. But we serve a God who is forgiving. And he forgives us when we go to him and when we admit that he is right and we are wrong. And so when we allow sin to infest our lives and we as believers, well, what's that saying to the world? It's saying that our testimony is weak and we don't really believe what we say we believe. And our very testimony can not only have somebody go to heaven, but our very testimony can cause somebody to go to hell as well. And that's unfortunate. Because the world, they're examining us. They got their magnifying glass out. They're looking at every little area of our life. They're looking at those nooks and those crannies. Thank you, Crystal, for telling me what those were the other day. I appreciate that. But you don't want to be a weak Christian. You don't want to have a weak testimony. And this is what takes place in our lives. Sin will do a few things as you go along in your life. Write these down. Sin will conform you. You'll conform to that type of a lifestyle. You'll begin to live that very life. You can be conformed back to your old lifestyle. Have we forgotten what God has saved us from? Why would we want to go back? Well, Chad, you didn't live the life that I live. You weren't involved in drugs and alcohol. No, but God saved me from those things. So I can very easily go into that lifestyle. Why would we want to go backwards? A believer's lifestyle should not be one that is going back, retreating, going back from what we're taught, but our lifestyle should be one that's always advancing, always wanting to learn, always wanting to get better educated so that we can be a better witness for Christ in this world. But sin will conform you. We also know that sin will corrupt you. It is the best way that I can describe it in my mind right now is a disease that's just eating at you. It will corrupt you. Sin corrupts every part of your life. If I was to have a white t-shirt up here this morning, pure white, you guys can see that. And then I would get out a red pen and just put a mark on that white t-shirt that has never been stained, that has never been corrupted. And I put that mark on there. Well, what happens to that shirt? It becomes corrupted. It will corrupt you. Things that I've noticed in my own personal life, as I have dealt with sin in my life, is sin controls you. Sin will cause you to do things that you can probably not think that you would that you would ever be able to do. Sin will control you. It will control your emotions. It will control your thoughts. And it will control your actions. And it is so true. And when those things happen, we're not able to fully, freely worship the Lord as we were created to. Sin will change your life. Sin is life-changing, is it not? It will change your life once it begins to control you. And as it begins to change your life, sin will destroy you. It will have a devastating effect on you, and that is destruction. I have seen and known men who have been called into the ministry, who have allowed their weaknesses, give in to their weaknesses, where they've had an affair, and because of this affair that they'd have, they would have to step down from the pulpit. They would eventually soon walk away from their wife, walk away from their children. The whole entire church has been abandoned as well. And this is because they have allowed the sin to control them, and it's changed their life and has destroyed the ones that are around you. It's no different than a man who decides to go to the bar on some Friday night or some Saturday evening and decides to get himself so totally wasted, gets in his car, steps on the gas, drives through a stop sign, and as he's going through that stop sign, he T-bones a car that has a family of six kids, and they're all taken out into eternity. Sin not only destroys the individual, but can sometimes destroy other people's lives. It affects other people. It will change you in areas that are unimaginable. Well, what are our actions that lead us to our sin? Sin isn't something that just happens to you. It is the results of steps and your choices that you and I choose to make. Again, we are created with a free will. We can choose to either say no, or we can choose to walk away from those situations. If you just struggled with alcohol or drugs before you got saved, it is your choice after that to stay away from those things. And if it's something that you struggle with, again, that is something that you have to take to God every single day. But sin is a process of your own lust. That's what it is. It's a process of your own lust, your own desire to do wrong. And sin results when you give your desire an opportunity to entice you. That's when sin begins. And we must We must see the need to take it before an almighty God, to have him remove those things, to have him cleanse us of those things. It is I believe, a daily struggle. I struggle daily with things in my life that I got to give to God daily. And I don't think you're any different than me. Mine's just different than yours. But we all struggle with those things. But we do have a God who wants to hear from us. Which is why we have to at times step away from this life and go into our closet that God has designed for us, and to begin to open up what needs to be opened up to him. Again, I said last week when dealing with temptations, why not just come out and say, God, this is what I struggle with. He already knows. We don't need to be embarrassed. We just need to come out and say it. Again, that illustration I used last week. I can't just say sorry to my wife after I have an intense conversation with her. I have to tell her why I am sorry. And I don't have to go into great depths or great detail. I just got to name why I'm sorry. I got to tell her I'm sorry because I'm a moron and ignorant at times. I have to do those things. And so we got to step away and back off and say, hey, you know what? It's time for me to enter into my closet and begin to have God deal with me and begin to open up to him so that I can no longer struggle with those things. Wouldn't it be great we can wake up some morning and just have victory over with what we've struggled with in many times in our lives? You know what? I have an answer for you. We can. We can. It's your choice. See, we have victory, but unfortunately, we take it back. So often, I'm talking about myself here. When I've had the opportunity and the privilege to come up in the altar and begin to confess to God what I've done and ask God for forgiveness in my life, it wasn't long after that where I just had victory, but I took it back. I gave in. And so we need to be going to God and having him deliver us from those things that begin to control us and to begin to consume us. We need to admit our sins. Admit your sins. When you are truly repentant, there will be an open and unguarded admission of your sins. You will not try to hide, excuse, or belittle your sins. You'll not try to justify them as well. But when we go and when we confess our sins, we must be honest. We must be honest and we must be open. The second thing, after we admit our sins, we need to ask for forgiveness. And when we seek forgiveness, walk away from it. Because does not God forgive you once you seek forgiveness, once you ask him? He forgives you. And so after he forgives you, it's your duty, it's your obligation to walk away and not pick that back up. Leave it at the altar. Leave it in the prayer room that you just came from. And I'm thankful tonight that, or today, whatever day it is, whatever time it is, that we have a God who forgives us. There's a whole world out there that needs to seek God for forgiveness. You want to get people off the streets. You want to get people to see who they are for who they are and not for what color they are or for what race they are. They need to seek forgiveness. And God will forgive them. And then after you ask for forgiveness and after you walk away, accept it. Accept his forgiveness. And I say this for a reason, because sometimes, even after you ask for forgiveness, you still struggle with forgiving yourself. And I know exactly what this means, because I have met business with God on so many different occasions, and I have asked for forgiveness, but then I struggle within myself to forgive myself. You have given it to Him. You've asked for forgiveness. He's forgiven you. Now accept it. And then apply His grace to your life. When there is true repentance, there is a desire to make a complete break from sin. Once you are forgiven, accept His cleansing. When you are honest to admit your sins, agree with God. You know, the Greek word here is homologio. That's mean I'm agreeing with God. What I've done is wrong, and He's right. I think that's the only Greek word that I can ever pronounce properly. I took Greek for about 6-7 months. And I tell you what, that is a difficult reason. There's a reason why I left it after 6-7 months. It was something that you thought my English was bad? My Greek was bad. And it wasn't fun. But that's okay. And so we have come to the point now where we realize that our sin separates us from God. It takes us out of fellowship with Him. And that's a place where a believer should not desire to be. When I have done wrong growing up against my parents, the last thing that I wanted to do is to be around my parents. And they probably at that point in time didn't want me to be around either. Why? What's that do? There was something that was done wrong, and when you've done something wrong, there is a separation. Our sin separates us from God. When Jesus took your sin and my sin upon the cross, what did that do? He had no sin. He never committed a sin, but His sin, the sin that He had, was yours and I's. And because of that, that separated Him from God. There is a time in history where He and God broke fellowship. And that's exactly what your sin and my sin does in our lives. It breaks fellowship from our Heavenly Father. Look at it like this. Before sin, after God's cleansed you, you look at this, you have a glass of water, it's all clear. And then you commit a sin, what does that do? That water becomes dirty. Well, you don't want to drink that water, do you? Why? Because you know that's not good for you. It'll contaminate you in some way, shape, or form. And so what do? You part ways with it. The last thing that you and I would want in our lives is to not have fellowship with God. But it is our sin that breaks our fellowship with Him. Oh, how great our fellowship is with Him when sin's not in our life. Again, which is why we need to guard our hearts. Protect what is valuable to us. There are things that we struggle with. If you struggle with something, the simple answer is to remove it. But sometimes that's the hardest thing to do. It's the easiest solution. It's the perfect solution. But it's the hardest thing to do. We need to remove those things. Whatever that is. Whatever that is causing you not to have that relationship with God needs to be removed. And I don't know that in your life. I just know that in my life. And those are things that I honestly, it hurts me and affects me when I'm not in fellowship with God. And I know it does that to you as well. Boy, what a great time it is when we're in fellowship with God. We're in a place of grace. We're in a place of mercy. We're in a place of protection. But we remove ourselves from that when we allow sin to come in our lives. Remember, temptation is not the sin. Jesus was tempted, but did he give in? No, he did not. If he was able to overcome, you and I are able to overcome too. What did he do during that time of temptation? He drew and called upon his heavenly Father. His relationship with his Father became stronger and more real to him than it ever was before. He yearned for it. He desired it. It was side by side with God. But if he was to walk away from his Father, he would ascend. See, we have keys. We have the solution to overcome those things. He gave it to us. But those are things that we ignore. Boy, what a great time it would be when, man, we're in constant fellowship with him. Sin will affect you. Sin will control you. It will consume you. And ultimately, sin will destroy you. And all we have to do is call upon our Lord and seek his forgiveness. I'm thankful today for such a forgiving God, because I know how horrible of a person I am. And those who know me and have known me for a long time can say, yeah, you are pretty horrible. And that's the truth. But I got a God who loves me and forgives me whenever time I come to him. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. God, I thank you that you have created a way for us to be able to walk away from those temptations and not to give in, to where if we were to give in, we would be committing a sin against you. God, I thank you, Lord, even though we have some come to those temptations and we have allowed ourselves because of our choices to sin, but God, you have forgiven us when we seek your forgiveness, and I can't thank you enough for that. God, I pray, Lord, that you continue to be with us in the next hour to come. Watch over us, and we ask it in your name. Amen.